it can be interesting to look at what people on the outside of the church think when they look at us. Sometimes, because they're not hindered by the same self-conceptions as we are, that can provide us with, in some ways, a clearer picture of what we are, who we are, and what we value than we can provide ourselves. And with that in mind, today I want to start by showing you a word that Muslim thinkers use for Christians. To them, we are the Al-Kitab. Now, that's what it looks like in Arabic, but it literally translates to people of the book. Why are we the people of the book? And the reason is, it's because our faith is informed and bolstered by the Word of God, the Bible. Now, when I was a child, my grandmother used to treat her Bible with special respect. I can remember I got roused on once because she happened to be in my room and she noticed that I had a little stack of books and the Bible, and I'd clueless little me, I had arranged this stack in order of size with the big books down the bottom and the small books up the top. And that meant the Bible was somewhere in the middle. And boy, oh boy, did I get it from Grandma. She gave me a real serve and she told me that the Bible should never be placed under any other book. It should be at the top of the stack. I told her that the stack would fall over if I did that. She wouldn't have in a bar of that. She said also she noticed there was dust on my Bible and she didn't like that either. The Bible should be carefully dusted. And basically she said, your Bible should be treated with care and respect. Now, I'm going to say here that many Christians treat their Bible with that kind of care and respect. But I think there is an important thing that we need to get our minds around. It's not about the book itself. If we give the book respect, but ignore what's in it, then we're missing the point. You see, Christians don't need holy symbols, relics, mantras, or anything like that. The Bible is important to us not so much for what it is, but because of what is in it. It is the Word of God. It is the stuff that God has sent to us that is important, not the book itself. The Bible is how God communicates with us. He has spoken to people throughout history, and the things that He has said that people have found useful have been recorded. And as people have read those words, God has spoken to them too. This year's teaching program is called The Word from the Beginning. And whilst we always preach from the Bible, the unique thing about what we'll be doing this time is that we're going to try and go through all of it. Now that's a big, big, big task. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into it. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And I ask, Lord God, that as we begin this year, as we go through your word, that you would speak to each one of us through the entire book. We ask you, Lord God, that you would empower us to understand what you have to say to us every way, every page that we go through, all the way through this amazing book. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, amen. So last year, as part of the After God's Heart program, I had the opportunity to look at the Bible and examine why it was so important to Christians. Now, since we've done that only recently, I'm going to content myself with briefly revising what we've learned during that sermon. Sorry, I realized as I wrote this, I needed you to bear with me. I am such a teacher. But anyway, in July, we learned that the Bible is God's word, that it is composed of 66 texts, which were written mostly in Hebrew and Greek, which have been preserved and translated very accurately into modern languages, including English. The current collection of texts was finalized in the 4th century in the Council of Trent, although it had already been very much in common use. This was a matter of ratifying what had already been accepted. We saw how the Bible can be trusted and how some of the common objections against it could be answered. And finally, we discussed how the Bible should be read prayerfully, contextually, and systematically. Now, in this year's program, we're going to take this as the starting point and move on. Since we understand the Bible is God's Word, since we know that it's a collection of different texts, since we know that it can be trusted, and since we know that it needs to be read prayerfully, contextually, and systematically, we're going to survey the Bible in detail. Now, I need to put in a caveat here. You need to put in a disclaimer. There is no way we can do the whole Bible justice, even if we're doing it in a year. We have 40 weeks in which we have to check out 66 books, and each of those books could provide months or even years of material for a sermon series. This is going to be a very much zoomed out view of the Bible rather than zooming in. But we are going to at least get to know some key points from most of it. And in the process, we should hopefully get an idea about why God arranged for each of those books to be in the Bible. The title of this series, The Word from the Beginning, refers partly to this process of going through the whole Bible and getting to know what it's about. But there's another reason for the name. In John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word." And you go through that chapter and you learn that the Word is a poetic way of talking about Jesus. Jesus is not just a human, he is not just a religious leader, he is God's ultimate communication with us. And in various ways, we can find information about him all the way through the Bible, from the beginning of Genesis all the way through to the end of Revelation. It is not stretching things to say that, in a way, the entire Bible is Jesus' story. Even though his name is not directly mentioned, there are prophecies of his coming. There are ways that he is foreshadowed. There are concepts that look forward to what he will do. Sorry. As we look through the Bible, then, we will see that every part of it is about the good news of Jesus, which Christians traditionally call the gospel. There are 5 modules in this program, each containing 8 sermons. First module is called In the Beginning. And its focus is finding Jesus in the first 5 books of the Bible. These books are traditionally believed to be written by Moses. In this module, we'll be looking at creation itself and what God hoped to achieve by making the universe in general and this world in particular. We will also look at what the Bible says is his crowning glory in his creation, humankind, us, and how sin came to be a part of our lives. We will then learn a little about God's plan for saving people, which began even before humankind chose to sin. And we will look at the agreements that God made with people, the covenants. So that's module 1. Module 2 is called God and His People. And this is all about how we can find Jesus in the Bible's historical books. Now, these books seem to just be a narrative, but there's actually so much more to them than that. In this module, we'll see how God intends to reach the people of Israel, and then through them, how he intends to reach the rest of the world. We'll learn about the temple and how that connects with God's plan, which is, by the way, what that picture is on the board there. That is the temple in Jerusalem. That's actually what we call the second temple. That's the one that was there at the time when Jesus was around. But the temple was there in Jerusalem, and that was an important part of how the Israelites used to worship God. We'll also have a look at how God deals with us, even when we seem to be working against him. Module 3 is called Thus Says the Lord, and in this one we're going to be learning about the prophets. These are people to whom God spoke directly, and they wrote down his messages to his people. In this module, we're going to be looking at how Jesus was predicted long before he actually came to earth, and how a new relationship between God and his people is foretold. We'll also see some amazing word pictures of how God sees each one of us and why he is willing to make so much effort to save us. With module number 4, which is The Word Became Flesh, we're going to take a slightly different tack. In this module, we'll be looking at Jesus himself and seeing how he fulfilled the plan that we were able to see all the way from the books of Moses, through the history books and through the prophecy books. Unlike the other modules, in which we'll be looking at a few books, this module will focus only on one, the Gospel of John. This is because churches go through Gospels frequently, so we can reasonably expect to encounter Matthew, Luke, or Mark fairly soon afterwards. Finally, module 5 is to the ends of the earth. This module will look at how the church came to be and what the early church believed. That's a picture, by the way, of Hagia Sophia, which is one of the most magnificent surviving churches of the early period. We will see how the church embodied Jesus' mission and the plan of salvation. We'll also look at the end times predicted in the book of Revelation and see what God has in store for his people at the end of all times. One thing we really want to bring across in this series is the fact that the Bible is actually one united whole. Yes, it's 66 books. Yes, it's 2 Testaments. But that does not change the fact that this is something united, that God speaks through. A lot of Christians make the mistake of concentrating entirely on the New Testament and ignoring the Old. There are a few that make the opposite mistake, who concentrate on the Old Testament to the expense of the New Testament and not considering what Jesus has done. At KPCC, we believe the whole Bible is God's inspired word. All 66 books, the 39 Old Testament books and the 27 New Testament books, the whole lot, lock, stock and barrel. And as far as I'm concerned, there is only one page in your Bible that isn't God's word. That's the page that separates the Old Testament and the New Testament, that weird title page that says the New Testament. I don't ever like damaging books, so I don't recommend you do this, but if you feel the need to tear a page out of your Bible, that would be the one. Because it separates the Bible in a way that it's not actually intended to be separate. It is one message from God. I hope this series helps us to all understand, all improve our understanding of the Bible. But if you take nothing more away from it than this, my prayer is that you will understand a very basic idea. And that is, firstly, we were created by God. We chose to go our own way, becoming sinners. Jesus came to deal with our sin, and now we can become part of a brand new relationship with God himself, the God who made the universe. He wants to have a relationship with each one of us, and that is the entire message of the Bible. The entire Bible screams this idea right from the beginning, right to the end. Every page, every story, every person, every chapter is ultimately telling us about the God who saves. And that is what we mean when we say the gospel. When we say the gospel, we are saying the good news that the God who loves you has sent his son in order to save you. He thinks you are worth saving. We are excited about this series, and we look forward to exploring together how God has worked throughout the ages. We're now going to finish this service in a time of prayer.